Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, David.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
Well, pretty good. Now, I wasn't at home, so I only heard part of your program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to deal with the issue that with Mr. Charles, but I would deal with that another day. Now, David, I heard you made mention this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Pertaining to the sale of the BNB Bank, and you said that
the credit union mm-hmm.
did not play or show that it was interested in the purchasing of the BNB Bank. That's what you said?
Yeah.
Now, I refute your statement direct.
Okay.
And I'm calling now on Maxine McLean, who came to this air sometime last week. And that's why I like paper trail. Unfortunately, there was no paper trail. As I would have quote to you. Maxine McLean said that they placed money or placed X percentage of money into the sale of the BNB Bank. And the reason why they had to withdraw, because they were not in any position, they were not offered any position to be sitting on the board. So as a result, with the amount of money that they were investing into the Barbados National Bank without a board member, it did not make any sense.
Okay.
You heard that?
I didn't hear that, no.
Well, I am asking Maxine McLean if she don't come on the radio to write an article pertaining to that issue and settle that issue which was bandying about in this country for a long time, that nobody showed interest in the purchasing of the BNB Bank. That's one. Number two, I want to deal with that. This problem pertaining to giving back the workers the money that they were accustomed getting, but according to Taxman, it was a piece of law. You remember that?
Yeah.
Now, I want the public to be engaged. Now, last week, Monday this week, now, an actor come to Barbados and was setting out doing a movie. Wherever he go, he's supposed to have a camera behind him, right? In order to shoot the movie.
You say that to say what?
I just asked the question, you know. Now, we just had a movie in Barbados near Dorian, starring the Prime Minister. Wherever she swing, the camera was there. That was a movie. That was a movie. Everyone in the world wants to say so. I say so. That is the newest movie.
But you sound envious, though.
I sound envious. I will tell you the truth.
Sound as though you wish that you could be center stage.
Well, she was at the center stage. She was the actor.
You think that if you could get some of that attention by being on Brass Tacks every day,
you wouldn't revel in it?
I like that.
Huh? Now, I want to go on to another point pertaining to this taxes. Could you recall that when the Democratic Labour Party lost government in 1994, there were people in this country, parliamentarians, who was not qualified to receive parliamentary pension. You remember that? The Prime Minister then, Owen Seymour Arthur, went to Parliament and passed legislation to make sure that those politicians that were not entitled for pension was able to get pension. You remember that?
I recall.
Good. And then tell you dealing with truth, you cannot wipe it out. Now, my last, and it's going to be very short. Now, I hear everybody giving an input about the garbage. They tell you separate the garbage. And they want to deal with the separation. And I can ask one question. This is a sensible question. I tell you that there's politics of confusion and common sense. Let me apply common sense now to this garbage issue. Now, if you separate the garbage, David, are you going to put the same garbage in the same truck?
Well, I believe you would have special trucks
for special garbage. And I know, when the garbage truck comes out, and you're going to separate garbage now, you're going to look for another truck. You can't put the same garbage in the back of the same truck that separate. Because everything I mix up.
Well, I just did a piece the other day on garbage, on recycling, and they are saying that in the United States, people who have been involved in recycling are now discovering that it is more costly than before. To a large extent in the U.S., it is because the Chinese have decided that they are not taking some types of garbage and stuff like that. So it is pushing us a bit more on the back foot when it comes to the idea of recycling. I know that's not good news for people who are in the recycling business, but it is worth examining what happens in other countries.
But David, I ain't even get it down there yet. I only talk about the domestic garbage so far.
And the domestic garbage, the idea is that it will be recycled.
Garbage, I gotta repeat myself slowly.
But you're separating it for recycling purposes too.
I don't know for what purpose. But if you separate a garbage, it means, therefore, as I said, let the garbage truck come out collecting certain amount of garbage, the rest got to left. And if it left them, who can collect it?
Well, all of that is the planning, you know.
Same built truck.
You're behaving as though, you know, we were reinventing the wheel. There are other people who do it.
But I ask you.
There are other people who do it. What you are asking for is a proper plan.
Exactly. Well, the other thing that I hate to hear people tell you, put your garbage in your fridge. You mean no poor man get a fridge? You mean you're telling me that he ain't got none to put in the fridge, so he got room for garbage? Huh? I have these statements out of here coming out. Just get
to where you put your garbage?
I put my garbage in the garbage can, and then the truck go around to take it up. And I am not putting no garbage in any.
And if it takes 5 weeks?
I've already come at you. And I see you got garbage, put one. So that's where you're sharing food. I will eat your food. So why you should tell me put garbage in my fridge? Huh?
But you know,
you just come and talk a lot of things, but they don't think.
Listen. You know how many people make sure that the stale food and stuff, the leftovers, that they don't put it in the garbage can immediately.
But then people don't cook regular.
Stop behaving as though you are the only person with a perspective on these things. There are people who do it. And they do it successfully with the whole idea of trying to reduce the amount of stuff that is available for the rats to come and eat and to reduce the offensive smell that comes from having that type of garbage out there.
All right, let me conclude. A lot of people talk about garbage. I tell you where the garbage comes from. Now, I can't speak for you, God. You always tell me that I can't speak for you, I can speak for myself.
Precisely.
Now, if I went into town and bite a whole chicken and decide to cook, I would use the plates in the house where you finish eat, you wash them up. And therefore, the reason for having excess garbage would not occur at me. But if you go into character number one and instead of cooking, you bought 4 shares or 4 dishes to take home, it all going to be in disposable packages along with bites. Now, when you get home and you eat that food, you have to take that garbage that you brought home, the containers, and put them in another plastic bag and put the garbage. Now, you will see the difference. The person who I'm cooking would only have to wash the dishes that they use. The one who ain't cooking and going to buy 4 and 5 foods to carry home will have to put garbage in. And it's that simple. And that's sufficient for me, David. We can talk Monday if God's willing.
I don't think so. But I'll tell you about that towards the end of the program. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Welcome.
Here?
Yes, you're on the air.
I want to state one thing about these benefits as not pensioned. Benefits are loaded into your deductions from your national insurance, whether you be a government employee or a public employee or a private employee. Those benefits are not stated what they are as in a life an ordinary life insurance company. So when people are stating that you are getting a disability benefit from NIS, you have already paid for that benefit that is deducted from your salary. You are not getting two pensions. That is your contribution. It's not stated out like in a private insurance company, but that is it. There's employment injury, there's disability benefit. All those are loaded into your deductions from national insurance. So when a person gets a disability benefit, that person has already contributed to that part of his deduction.
Is that so?
And this is some person that really was versed in insurance.
Okay.
So when you see your salary and it comes to you and you just see like $240 per month, that was the maximum at the time, they do not show you where your deductions are loaded for. Suppose you slip and fall at VOB. You can claim employment injury. Then there's disability benefit. And the same thing in other insurance companies. That has nothing to do with your contribution to your government pension. All of these, and if you look at anyone's...
Where is the... there's a reference to the legislation on this. What does the legislation say?
The legislation states in NIS, and this is done by actuaries. Not people just come up out of the blues and stop your pension. This is done.
I still ask you what the legislation said.
The legislation said that you can claim invalidity benefit. You are contributing to national insurance invalidity benefit. You are contributing all in one pension. It's not stated, but all is loaded, if you know what I mean by loaded.
Explain what you mean by loaded.
Well, you would buy a private insurance policy from, can I call any company in
Miami? Any company, no, we're calling the names right now.
Right. And then you have riders attached to your life insurance policy. Riders for accident indemnity, ACCS. Then you've got loss of a limb, which is from your hand to your wrist. Then you have accidental death. Or death before 3 years. I don't want to. I can't remember everything. But those, and your premium will come up to, let's say, $187.50. You can see them on your policy. You do not see them on an NIS worksheet. All you know is that you paid $240 in deductions, which was the maximum at the last time. Anybody earning over $1,000 per month was it. No. What people are saying that invalidity benefit is, it's not, it is your benefit that you have contributed to. There's no government that can come and stop that. You have contributed it from your wages. And I don't want to spend much time on that, but I want to spend some time on Leo. Tell Leo what he get, let him take. He is getting some real warm licks now. And I am glad that I'm sitting there at my ivory towers and looking down at him and laughing. The Motley administration. And Raul, tell him, everywhere is so insolvent. How come we have teachers who are being paid? We have civil servants who are being paid and whatever. I just want to sit back. I know he's going to come at the Polar Puff girls. But tell, I don't know about the Polar Puff girls. Because, Mr. Ellis, I want to state this. I was born privileged. I ain't getting a little piece of nothing from up in Sandy Lane, but no old grandfather left nothing for me. And they were not even acknowledged up in there. So I don't want to get dirty, and I don't want to tell people who they are and where they come from.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, sir?
Well, and you?
I can tell you something. Mr. Ellis? Mr. America, Mr. America is aggressive, he's belligerent, he's provocative, but the guy tries to make sense, and I get the impression sometimes that moderators think that he's a nuisance and they should try to get rid of him. We are happy to go up to Franklin Hall and up KFL and sit down in the lecture hall to hear somebody from North America with an accent and a pointed nose come down here to tell us what we know already. And we sit down there and suck it all up. And at the end of it, we don't learn nothing. I would really like a little more leeway. Listen to the guy in here, he has to say, because he comes to sell very provocative ideas, and he's one of about three colleges in the whole of Barbados that is making, that really comes to something other than the, you know, the complaint, the light in the water. I like to listen. At first, I used to get upset with his belligerence, but I realized that the guy thinks he's a thinker. And people like that, we should encourage in our society. Don't mind, he might be a bit, you know, rough sometimes. Just put him back in his place. Put him back on track. And listen to the guy. He makes a lot of sense. That's all I'm going to say with that. Now, is the thing about marijuana, this medical marijuana that we saw in some hospitals ready to pursue. Let me just say, any virgin at home or abroad, who think that Barbados that can't manage sugar to get from it, they can't manage cotton, they can't manage corn to feed the animals, they can't manage the back belly land to stop that because don't have to import so much corn beef. Any one of us who think that little Barbados is going to compete with the world, and I mean the world, I saw a list of countries last night that introduced medical marijuana. I said to myself, wait, this can't be serious. From the Philippines to the Netherlands, from the Netherlands to Mexico, everybody on this trend, this medical marijuana, Canada on it. I don't even think Canada used to grow marijuana before. And I can only see one thing can happen. Small countries like Barbados, not only going to get squeezed out, but a lot of the people who try to compete, because the question was asked last night in a discussion that I heard on the foreign radio. If there's going to be this medical marijuana and recreative marijuana knocking around, what is going to happen to the people who sell their marijuana now illegally? Are those people going to pack up their tent and go home? And get the answer
I think,
no.
Arthur, I thought that they were making a distinction between marijuana for medicinal purposes and marijuana for recreational purposes. Marijuana for recreational purposes. Well, if you got some kind of ailment and you went to the doctor and the doctor wanted to prescribe something that had marijuana in it, the law would seek to recognize that you should be able to get that medication without necessarily being accused of breaking the law. That's the difference.
I agree. But let me tell you something, Mr. Ellis. How are you going to tell the difference? How the fella who need marijuana for medical purposes and the fella who need marijuana for recreational purposes, you going to be able to tell one from the other? Because I can tell you something. A lot more marijuana, even although marijuana, like any other herb, might have some chemical properties that are useful to... And I don't know why people make sense possible with it. Most green things out there that grow on the ground or on a tree have medicinal properties, but you just don't know which one is which and which one is used for what. But this trend that we have, and a lot of people are going to lose their lives, Mr. Ellis, that's the thing that concerns me. A lot of these small operations in these small countries trying to compete with these drug barons are going to lose their lives. And we are not going to be able to do anything about it. I would say to Barbados, let us try again with the black belly sheep. Let us start importing corn beef. Let us try with some corn to feed the animals. Let us try with some sugar that we can feed to us because we're importing sugar now. And let us get some cotton back on the world map and leave the medical marijuana for down the road. If you want, go ahead and grow it. But you see, the fellas out there who sell it illegally ain't going to make the distinction between your using it for medical reasons and somebody using it for recreation. They're going to make a distinction, huh? If you're selling marijuana in the market, you're competition. And they are going to come after you. And that's all I have to say about that. I hope that we will open our eyes and our ears and that we will try not to be our chickens in the yard with elephants. The elephant dog will look to see put in his foot. But if you don't care, we are going to get crushed. Now, the final thing I want to say, Mr. Ellis, I don't like to get in this, this political thing. But I read something that Mr. Lashley wrote in the papers relative to the DLP and so on and so forth, that the DLP should come out and confess or tell people something. I don't know what you mean. What I was saying, Mr. Lashley, is this. If Mr. Lashley, as one of the failed MPs in the last election, wants to go to his constituents and confess or say his story or whatever he has to do, he should go ahead and do it. But he can't tell his party what to do. You see what I mean? He can't show me telling his party what to do. And I'll say this to Ms. DePisa. She's just been re-elected as president. Congratulations to her. I wish Ms. DePisa will see herself as the leader of a group of people who recognize their weaknesses. They made some serious errors. They did some good things too. And that she get people around her who are of like mind. Please do not look back to the past except to avoid the mistakes of the past. I would like to see some of the new people in the DLP, and I know there are quite a few of them, who might have been discouraged, come forward. The days of the Earl Byrne and the Erskine Sandy Friend, those people have done what they had to do. I want to hear about the new names in the DLP who are coming forward to carry forward the traditions of that party. That's a great party. Just the DLP is a great party. But don't imagine for one moment that the DLP is in the doldrum, not going to be in the doldrum. I want to hear some young people, and I'm saying to Mr. DePisa, look to your bright young people who are in the party. Put them on the floor to answer questions and to talk, and let them be questioned to hear what's in their head and what's in their mind. And those are the people, you test them, and those are the people that you will put on your committees and so on. For me, don't try to do everything yourself, because you will find that people will think that you're trying to be a dictator or something like that, and they'll move away from it.
All right, sir.
Share the load, share the burden between those who are knowledgeable, who are experienced, and who are willing.
We have to leave you, Arthur. Thank you very much. Don the Brass Tacks, hello. Good afternoon.
The debate or discussion that's going on about the pension and disability benefits, because there have been many calls and, as I said, an ongoing discussion about the withdrawal of benefits and the promised return of those or restoration of those benefits. And we've heard from one minister in the Ministry of Finance, we've heard from the Minister of Labour. Of course, we haven't heard from the Minister of Finance herself and the Prime Minister, but I think we would probably understand why we haven't had a further clarification. And I want to suggest, and I'll give support and evidence in a second, as to why I believe that that will not be restored in the way that people have been anticipating. Because if you have had a chance to read the document, the IMF country report, and I'll give you the particular reference, number 80/290 of October 2018, which is really Barbados' request for an extended fund facility arrangement, that is the agreement with the IMF. In that agreement, one of the matters that the government has agreed to and which they've therefore signed on to observe and pursue, and I'll quote from the that agreement, it says a reduction in current expenditures, including the wage and pension bill, as well as transfers to SOEs, that state enterprises, as you know, statutory corporations, etc., will create room for additional capital spending and a gradual reduction in the stock of domestic expenditure arrears, and there's a table attached, etc. While the central government wage bill has slowly gone down, etc., it talks about it. The point I'm making is that if you read that agreement, and I want to emphasize the agreement because that's what Barbados has signed on to, we have, in effect, agreed to reduce pensions. And one of those is to take the action that has been taken. So the suggestion that it might have been an error or somebody, I don't remember the exact.
The Pensions Miscellaneous Provisions Act 1975-31 provides for the abatement of pension payable under caps 25, 30, 56 by the amount of pension payable in accordance with the National Insurance and Social Security Act.
Yes.
So I'm saying to you that in all of this, this matter goes back to that period. It relates to those officers entering the service after the 1st of September 1975. And it says, persons who qualify for pension after the 1st of September 1975 are subject to abatement of pension. This means...
Okay, could I
So I'm saying that in the same way you're locating this matter within the birth agreement, but I'm referring to people who will say, look, this thing goes way back.